Good morning. Welcome to Calvary Chapel. This morning we continue our study, our sermon series entitled At Calvary. And the purpose of these 5 weeks that we're going to spend together talking about different topics and different issues, the purpose of the series is to get you better acquainted with us as a church and as a ministry, and to sort of let you know how we function and how we operate and what we find as important principles or philosophy of ministry as a church. And not only that, but if you're visiting from another place, these things are all very biblical and very scriptural, and so we want to just pass them along to you in this sermon series. Before we start this morning in our subject of the Holy Spirit at Calvary, let's pray together and ask the Lord's blessing. Again, Lord, we come to you. We come to you and thank you for what you've done for us. We thank you for the work of your Son, Jesus. That, Lord, you were willing to come and lay down your life for us. Lord, we also thank you for the ministry of the Holy Spirit, that you are with us, that you dwell in us. Lord, and that you empower us. Father, we thank you for that. Lord, we pray that during these next few minutes we have together, you would help us to study your word. And that you would help us to receive the things that are written here, and that you would help us to apply them to our lives. Lord, we just want to be obedient to you. We are open to your leading and guiding. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. In your Bibles, you can turn to the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 8. The purpose and the role of the Holy Spirit at Calvary. The Holy Spirit being God, of course, being the third person of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We believe that the Holy Spirit is a person, that He is with us, that He speaks to us, that He leads us, that He guides us and directs us. And much more than that, as we will see, beginning in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, I want us to look at a couple of scriptures, three to be exact. We'll be turning to three different scriptures and talking about three different things as it pertains to the Holy Spirit at Calvary. First of all, we'll be talking about the empowerment, or being empowered by the Holy Spirit, in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Then we will talk about being gifted by the Spirit, talking about spiritual gifts, and more than that, the importance of discovering our own gifts and using them in the body for the edification of the church. And then finally, we're going to be talking about being led by the Spirit, how important it is for the Holy Spirit to direct us, not only in our lives personally, but in our church at Calvary. We look to the Lord, His Holy Spirit, to lead us and to guide us into the places that He wants us to go. But first of all, we look at Acts chapter 1, verse 8. We'll read the scripture here and make a couple of comments. Being empowered by the Spirit, it says that you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, and to Luero Island. Luero Island, of course, being included in that third category, to the ends of the earth. The point being from this passage is that God has promised to us, Jesus has declared to us as His disciples, that there is an empowerment that is necessary to be witnesses of Him and for Him to the ends of the earth, beginning here at Kampala. God wants us to be empowered, to receive the power of the Holy Spirit, and it's an important part of our life and ministry. Well, let's take a look at this verse a little bit closer, and I want to make a couple of notes here, and just to describe and explain our view of the empowerment and even the baptism or the filling of the Holy Spirit taken from here in this verse and from a couple of others that we'll look at. It says, first of all, that you shall receive power. Jesus was speaking here to His disciples, to His followers who were believers. These men and women who would gather together, as we see in Acts chapter 2, had been with Jesus for most of His ministry. They had heard His teaching. They had lived according to His lessons. They had witnessed His death, His crucifixion, and they had also been witnesses of the resurrection. And this is a message being spoken to them before He ascended into heaven. And He said, you shall receive power. And it's very important to remember who He was speaking to. He was speaking to believers. He was speaking to those who had been born again, who had received the Holy Spirit. Listen to what it says in John chapter 20, verses 21 and 22. This is before, it was after, immediately after the resurrection, on one of his appearances to the disciples. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and he said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." It was at that moment that they were born again, that they received the Holy Spirit into their lives to be with them, to dwell in them forever. God says, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." And by the Holy Spirit, he is with us and in us. And these same believers met with Jesus before his ascension, and he said, "You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you." Acts chapter 1 verse 5, he said, "John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." And so if we're talking about the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Spirit coming upon us, it's also good to refer to it as the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or even as the filling of the Holy Spirit. Here's what I mean. Acts chapter 2 is the fulfillment of what Jesus is speaking here in Acts chapter 1 verse 5 and Acts chapter 1 verse 8. Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, we read that the day of Pentecost had fully come. Jesus had already ascended. These promises in chapter 1 had already been given. They were all in one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. Verse 4 is our key verse. It says, "They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." So Acts chapter 2 verse 4 is the fulfillment of what Jesus was speaking about in Acts chapter 1 verse 5 and 1 verse 8. He says, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. John baptized you with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit." And what does it mean to be baptized? Now, this is another issue altogether, which we won't talk about. People say, "Can you sprinkle? Can you immerse? What does it mean?" Well, let me just tell you what the word itself means. I'm not even going to talk about sprinkle, immerse, whatever. You leave that for another time. We see the information booth about that. Are you guys ready back there? The word itself, baptism, in the original language, means to immerse in something. It means to be covered with completely. And so John baptized you with water. Indeed, he did, a baptism of repentance. But you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. It means to be immersed, to be filled, to be completely covered with the Spirit and with His power. And that's exactly what happened in Acts chapter 2, verse 4, to these believers. It wasn't just a one-time thing either. I think that we should constantly be asking the Lord to fill us with His Holy Spirit, to fill us with that power that we need. In Acts chapter 4, we see the same group of believers, led by Peter himself. They were praying because they were under a great deal of persecution. They needed boldness to speak the word of God. And Acts chapter 4 verse 31 says, "When they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness." So again, we see the same group of believers praying, asking the Lord for strength and boldness, and He filled them, He baptized them with the Holy Spirit, as was the promise in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. We have many other instances of the believers being filled with the Spirit post-conversion. And that's why we believe here at Calvary that the baptism of the Holy Spirit can happen after a person has been born again, or subsequent to salvation at a later time. It's up to the Lord, really. But we see here in Acts chapter 8, when Peter and John went to Samaria. Acts chapter 8 and verses 15 to 16. Peter and John, pastors in the early church in Jerusalem, they had been filled with the Spirit. They spoke the word of God with boldness. They then go down to Samaria. Acts chapter 8 verse 15 says, "When they had come down, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit." And this is talking about the filling or the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Verse 16 continues, "For as yet He had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus." So they had come to the Lord. They had been water baptized, but they had not yet received the filling or the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so they went down and prayed for them. Acts chapter 19, verse 2. Paul, to the disciples at Ephesus, asked them a strange question, but we understand it in light of the teaching here today. Acts chapter 19, verse 2, Paul said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit since you believed, or when you believed?" Indicating that he understood that there's a work of filling of power that comes as many times a separate work to salvation, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. Let me make one more comment on Acts chapter 1, verse 8, before we move on to the gifts or being gifted by the Spirit. Acts 1, 8 says, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me." Here at Calvary, we believe there's a threefold relationship of the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, to the believer. And let me just state these very briefly and very simply. We believe that the relationship is three. Number one, the Holy Spirit is with you. Secondly, the Holy Spirit is in you. And then finally, thirdly, the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And that's the experience that we're reading about here in Acts chapter 2 and elsewhere. The Holy Spirit is with you, the believer, in leading us to Christ. In fact, no man can come to the Lord unless the Holy Spirit comes alongside of them to lead them to Him. That's why the Bible says that the Holy Spirit has come into the world to convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And isn't that true when you were on your journey to the Lord? That you started to experience certain things you knew to be right and wrong, and it was the Holy Spirit leading us to be with us. However, when you accept the Lord Jesus, upon faith, you are born again. Hallelujah. You are born again. You receive the life of God, the Holy Spirit. He comes into you. He's not just with you to lead you to Christ. Once you accept Christ, He then comes into you and He takes up residence in your heart. You are now the temple of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that great? So if someone says, "Oh, you're a Christian, where's the temple of the Holy Spirit?" You can say, "Well, you're looking at Him," or "You're looking at her." We corporately as a church, the body of Christ worldwide, are the house of God, the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so the Lord, the Holy Spirit, is no longer just with us. He is now in us. Listen to what it says in John chapter 14, verse 17. Jesus said that the Spirit of truth, John 14, 17, the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. He dwells with you and will be in you. And that, of course, after Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead, we are able to have that experience of being born again, of being transformed, of becoming new creations. But what about that third relationship to the believer, the upon experience? What we've been reading of in Acts chapter 8, "You shall receive power when the Spirit comes upon you." You can think of the illustration of a glass. Imagine this glass is just empty. You have the water would be alongside of it until you poured the water into it. You filled the glass. The glass would now be full. The water is in the glass. Are you following me? So the water is with, the water is in, but then you have the upon experience of the Holy Spirit, who is the living water. It would be like pouring the water into the full glass. What happens when you pour water into a full glass?
Overflows,
that's right. You're pouring it in, and it's overflowing. Jesus said in John chapter 7, verses 37 to 38, He cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the Scripture has said, out of his heart will overflow rivers of living water." And so this is the experience that we need to pray for. That yes, the Holy Spirit is in us, Him completely, filling our lives. He will never leave us nor forsake us. But we need to experience an overflow of His ministry. Praise the Lord. And that is the baptism, the filling of the Spirit. It's like a glass. If you keep on pouring water, "Lord, just keep on pouring Your life and Your power in and out of my life." Well, what is the purpose for this empowering? I think a lot of people are scared of this particular doctrine because they see it abused in so many places. You go to some churches who are saying, "We are baptized in the Holy Spirit," and they're doing any number of strange, weird things. right? You can find jumping, you can find backflips. Not that jumping is necessarily weird. Backflips probably would be. You find shaking, you find falling, you find people are saying things like, I was out of control. They say, it was so great. I was filled with the Spirit and then I was out of control. We were just going wild. And I wonder, is that great? Here's the thing. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, is not so that we can be mad and out of control. The Bible says here in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses of me. The Bible says that the fruit of the Spirit is love, peace, patience, all the rest. The fruit of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is, what's the last one? Self-control. When you are empowered by the Holy Spirit, you have more self-control than you have ever had before. You have clarity of mind. You have power of speech. You have ability that you never thought possible in your life. It's not so you can just do some weird thing. It's so that you can move forward in the power of the Holy Spirit to be witnesses of Jesus Christ. Don't you see why it's important? Someone gave the illustration of a train. Back in the day, they used to use coal for trains, the engines, and as the coal, I don't know how exactly it works, but as the coal would burn, it would give the engine the power that it needed to move the train. However, you had this thing where you had to release some of the steam from the engine, and so you had the horn, and so you would blow the whistle. If you've seen some of those films or whatever with the train just warning people, they were blowing the whistle. Now, I think that would be kind of fun. And many Christians are like a train. They say, let's get filled with that power. And they think that the power is so they can sit there and blow the whistle. Hoot, 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 yeah. Woo! This is great, this is fun. And they sit there and yes, and the whistle is hooting and they're having a great time. But is that why the power has come into the train? Just so you can sit there and have a good time? Woo-hoo, woo-hoo? Why? It's so you can move forward. And as you're moving forward, go ahead, blow the whistle, have a good time. But the very purpose for the empowerment of the Holy Spirit is not for personal enjoyment or pleasure. The purpose is to reach others with the gospel of Jesus Christ. What about the gifts of the Spirit? Romans chapter 12, verse 6. Romans, the book of Romans, if you're in Acts, you just turn right. You go over to Romans chapter 12, verse 6. And if you're taking notes, you can write these other verses down. We will not look at them. We're not going to talk about the gifts of the Spirit in detail, obviously, because of time. You can write down 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 1 Corinthians 12, 13 and 14. For later study, we'll look at a couple of verses in 1 Corinthians 12 in a moment. But Romans chapter 12, verse 6, we have been empowered by the Holy Spirit, but we have also been gifted by the Holy Spirit. Romans 12, verse 6 says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. And then it goes on to give a little list there, prophecy and ministry and all the rest of those gifts. And there are others in 1 Corinthians that I mentioned. I want to look at a couple of things. First of all, it says having then gifts in Romans 12, verse 6. Having then gifts. And I want to say this to every believer, genuine believer here today. If you are a Christian, you have given your life to the Lord, you've been born again, then the Bible declares that you have been gifted by the Holy Spirit. A spiritual gift is a supernatural ability that you would not otherwise have unless the Lord lived in your life. It's a special gift. And we have a list of gifts. You have teaching, gifts of teaching and encouragement and all of the rest. So each believer has a gift. We can turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, or you can just listen to me read it. It's up to you. 12 verses 4 to 7. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. And verse 7 is key. Listen. The manifestation of the Spirit, or the gifts of the Spirit revealing Himself through giftings in your life, is given to each one for the profit of all. The gifts are given to Each one, all of us. Every single believer is gifted. And I know that growing up, your mummy probably told you that you were so special. You're so gifted, even if you really weren't. That's just the nature of parents. Father's Day today, happy Father's Day for those of you who are fathers. And you tell your kids, you're so gifted, you're so special. But I'm here to tell you, no, I'm not your mummy. But I'm here to tell you on the authority of Scripture that really, if you have come to the Lord and you have the Holy Spirit, that you are special. You are gifted. You can do some extraordinary things. You have gifts, some of you, that nobody else has, I believe. And the important thing here is to recognize that I have been gifted by the Holy Spirit. And not only to recognize it, what does it say back in Romans chapter 12? It says, if we have gifts, then we should use them. Use them. It's like a body. This isn't my own personal illustration. This is from the Bible. It's like a body. And each person is a member of the body, and some people are hands and feet, and some people are mouths, and some people are eyes, and some people are ears. And it isn't good for us to sit here and think, because I'm not the pastor, then I do not have anything important to do here. You know, I think that's the way a lot of churches are. You come to church and you sit there and the pastor does all the work and he has a couple of people around him that do everything, but then it's just for us to sit here and enjoy. Well, I hope you do enjoy, but I hope you enjoy hearing this, that you also have a role to play in the church. You have something to do. You have a gift that has been given to you that if you don't use that gift, the rest of us are going to suffer because of it. That's a fact. And because you sit there and think, because I'm not the pastor, I'm not the worship leader, I'm not special, that is false. Imagine if the foot were to say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not important. What if your foot said that in your body? Well, it probably doesn't say anything really, but if it did and it said, I'm going to stop being a foot, or I'm just not going to be a foot, you'd have serious problems. What if your eyes started to say, because I'm not a mouth, I'm not important, and so I'm just not going to be an eye. I'm just going to sit here and do nothing. You wouldn't be able to see very well, would you? Close your eyes. Can you see anything? Or your ears, or your mouth, or your lungs, because no one can see me. I'm not important, so let me just stop working. How would the rest of the body feel about that? We wouldn't like it very much. And I'm encouraging you, especially if you belong to this church, if you're a member of this church, if you call this church your home, I'm encouraging you, I'm calling upon you to ask the Lord, what have I been gifted in and how can I contribute that to the rest of the people here or even to the people out there? We have gifts of evangelism, things like that. I've written down a short little list of ways to identify your spiritual gifts. I use the word gifts itself to make it more memorable. And I'm going to go through this quick, so either you have to take really fast notes, or you have to come to the third service and listen to it again. Some of you are here from the first service, I think. Or you have to get the CD or the audio and listen to it later. I'm going to go through these quickly for lack of time. I've written down five ways to identify the spiritual gifts that you may have. And it's good to ask the Lord to show you, what have I been gifted in? I use the word gifts, each letter, G-I-F-T-S. The first is G, and I say this, give yourself to God. Give yourself to God. That's the most important thing. To say to the Lord, God, I give my life to you. I am willing to do whatever you want. If you want to use me to be a missionary, or to be a children's ministry worker, or to be a sweeper, or to be a whatever, I give myself to you totally and completely. Surrender your life to God. Give yourself to Him. That's the most important step to discovering what God has gifted you in. If you haven't given yourself to God, why does it matter anyways, really? You're not willing to do what God has called you to do? You need to give yourself to Him. Secondly, identify your desires for Christian service and ministry. The I and gifts. Identify your desires for Christian service and ministry. I think a lot of times God leads us according to our desires. God doesn't always find out what we want to do and then tell us to do something different. Many times God will use you in a way that you want to be used. I want to teach. I love to teach the Bible. I love to preach. I love reading about other great preachers. It's something that I just, it's something in my heart, I just desire that. And maybe there's something for you. Maybe you just love to speak to people. You're very outgoing and you love to share the message of Christ in little different ways. Maybe you have the gift of evangelism. I think God will use us according to our desires. What do you want to do? What do you enjoy doing for the Lord? Thirdly, follow the guidance of the Holy Spirit. In the word gifts, the F represents follow the guidance of the Holy Spirit. At the end of the day, God will lead you. He will show you what He wants you to do, won't He? He'll lead you into that area of ministry that you specialize in because of the gifts that you've been given. Fourthly, talk to other Christians. G-I-F-T, talk to other Christians. Many times others, and this I found this important in my own life and from testimonies from other people, many times other believers can identify your spiritual gifts even before you can. I'll give you an example, the gift of encouragement. That's a spiritual gift, a supernatural work of the Holy Spirit. Many times when you speak to someone, you care about someone, you want to encourage them, maybe they're having a difficult time, and you begin to speak to them, and they testify to you that, you know, when you were speaking to me the other day, or last time, or when you called me, or when you sent me that text, it really encouraged me, it really lifted me up, and it seemed like my problems were smaller than when I first started listening to you. And if you keep hearing those testimonies from other people, maybe you have the gift of encouragement. And there's other gifts and other ways that people can help you to identify those. There was a story of a mechanic who felt gifted to be a preacher. And the mechanic was a godly man. He was a part of this church, and he felt gifted to be a preacher, and so he was going to quit his job and be a preacher until an elder of the church came to visit him. He was working on his car, and the elder of the church spoke to him, and the mechanic said, "You know, I really feel gifted to be a preacher." Now, this elder had known him for some time, and he knew that this guy was not especially gifted in that area. So the elder said to him, "You may feel gifted to preach, but do other people feel gifted to listen to you?" What was he saying? He's saying, when you preach, or when you use this gift that you feel you're gifted in, do other people respond well? Can you see the effects of your gifts? And that leads us to the fifth way that we can identify the gifts and the word gifts, the letter S, see the effect of your gift. Yes, other people can give you feedback when you talk to other Christians, but see the effect of your gifts. Because if it is a work of the Holy Spirit, it will produce fruit, won't it? Did you know that I used to think that I had the gift of evangelism? I don't have the gift of evangelism, okay? I'm still called to do the work of an evangelist. We're all called to do that, gifted or not. Some of us are just specialists at it. I think when you think of gifting, you're a specialist in this area. I used to think I had the gift of evangelism. So when I went on a mission trip, my first mission trip from the state of Georgia where we were living, and we went to India. We went to several places in India, and the pastors there had set up a crusade where we were going to preach the gospel, and many hundreds of thousands were going to come to the Lord. I remember reading, I had heroes of the faith, people like Billy Graham, and there's another guy named Greg Laurie, who's a Calvary Chapel guy. And these evangelists were so effective in their reaching people for Christ. They would preach to thousands of people, and many would come to the Lord. So I said, you know what? That's me. I want to be Billy Graham part two. The world better get ready. I think I was 19, 20 years old maybe at the time. So we went to India, they had this crusade, and there were about 300 or 400 people there, and finally it was my chance. This is the opening ceremony for Brian Kelly Evangelistic Ministries. So I went out and I preached the message, and I gave an invitation, of course. You know, I saw them all do this, and so that's what you got to do. So I'm saying, you know, come to the Lord, and today's the last day, and all this stuff. And then I said, all right, is anybody going to come? And so no one was coming. And then, you know, you have to say the other things. Now is the time, and here you come. And finally, about three kids came forward. And we praise God for the children that come forward. I'm not minimizing that experience for them. But the Lord taught me something that day. He taught me, you know what? You may not be gifted in evangelism. That same crusade, we had some other preachers get up and preach, and they gave an invitation, and many people came. People started coming and giving their life to Christ. And I thought, you know, let's look in a different place. So be adventuresome. Don't just sit there and wait for God to say, this is your gift, like audibly, and go do it. But just get involved in different kinds of ministries, what you want to do. And then see how the Lord uses you, and you can see the fruit from the ministry or the gifts that you have. Okay, and then if you don't see anything really there for a while, then try something different. Praise the Lord. So I've tried pastor, teacher, and then it's working out okay. So far, so good. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, I'll read it to you. As each one has received a gift, again, emphasizing that each of us have been gifted for a purpose, let us minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. God has given you the gifts. Like the story of the landowner who went on a journey, he gave the talents. He gave one 5 talents. He gave one 3 talents. He gave one talent. And then he came back and he said, how are you as stewards of the gifts that I had given to you? And of course, you know the story. 2 of them, he said to them, well done, good and faithful servant. You want to hear that from the Lord? Get involved in the church. Start doing something, even small things. God doesn't look at how big or small something is. He just looks at your heart and he says, are they willing to really step out and to be involved in the church, in the world, in Uganda, in reaching the poor and the orphans and the widows, in whatever you may do, do it for the Lord and try it out. Use the gifts of the Spirit. Empowered by the Spirit, gifted by the Spirit. Finally, we at Calvary Chapel believe in the importance of being led by the Holy Spirit. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. That's a little bit tougher to find. Go to Matthew, the first book in the New Testament, and just go left a little while. You'll see Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. This is the story of Zerubbabel and Joshua and the rest who were rebuilding the temple after the captivity in Babylon. They looked at the job and they said, this is impossible. We can't do this. It's not going to happen. And the Lord sent them a message to remind them that it's not about them, it's all about Him and His Holy Spirit. And He said, Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, He answered and said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. How are you going to do it? It's not by might, it's not by power, it's by my Holy Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. And we believe with all of our hearts, though sometimes we can forget, and I can forget, but we believe very strongly at Calvary Chapel in the leading and guidance of the Holy Spirit. This is His church. This is His church. The Lord said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, in Matthew 16, 18. He said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. He didn't say, you will build my church. Did He? And I think today we have the temptation of all these programs of how to grow your church and how to build your church and do this and that and A, B, C, D. And Jesus is saying, I didn't say you will build my church. I said I will build my church, and He'll do it by the leading and the guidance and the power of the Holy Spirit. And He is building His church. He's building Calvary Chapel Kampala. He's building His church around the world. He will build His church. And Psalm 127 verse 1 says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. And I'm telling you something right now. I don't want to be laboring in vain here in Kampala, Uganda at Calvary Chapel. I'm going to say this today. God, You are the Lord of this church. Holy Spirit, You build the church. It's Your place. It's Your church. And we as a congregation look to You. Lead us. Guide us. Direct us. Where's the property? Where's the money? Where's the direction? Where's the mission opportunities? Where's the different things that You want us to do? Lord, we look to You to lead us and to guide us and to direct us. And I'm sure at the end of the day, we're going to look back and say, wow, I could have never done that if I tried. And when we try sometimes, just ask the Board of Elders and all the rest of us, and we're trying, and sometimes we strive, and sometimes we wonder, how is this going to be done? Well, it's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. The Holy Spirit is important in this place, to be empowered by the Spirit, to walk out in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and to be led by the Holy Spirit. And that's what we feel very strongly about here at Calvary. Let's stand together and pray. Lord, we do honor you in this place. We thank you. Lord, thank you for the privilege of even belonging to you, of following you, of being your children, your sons and daughters. In your word, you said that if on earth a father wouldn't give their son a snake if they asked him for a fish, or you wouldn't give him a stone if he asked for a piece of bread. Lord, how much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Lord, we ask for the filling, for the work, for the leading, for the gifts, for the guidance of the Holy Spirit here today. We're asking you, we're your children. We're asking you as our Father. In the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray that you would fill us and that you would use us and that you would lead us and that you would guide us and that you would help us and that you would provide for us and that you would do each and everything that you want to do here in this place. And we ask and pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.